All right, praise God. Awesome, exciting, and it's just so wonderful to see. Like I was saying, the Spirit of the Lord is moving, bringing revival to the land. It's bringing revival to your home, to your house. And we need to be very, very close to that movement of the Lord. And yes, some people are falling away and all that. We continue to pray for those, right? But we don't give up. We need to continue to press in. And, you know, I just find out, too, that people are as hungry as we are when we come here. And ministering to, I don't remember how many people in the park, but ministering to those people, I realize that people are looking for truth and looking for love and looking for sincerity and looking for, you know, and we have it, right? We just need to give it free. We used to say, you know, we'll give you this stick free. And they will say things like, nothing is free, honey. What is it? What's the catch? And I would say, well, 2 minutes of your time. You know, that's all we need. And it worked out good. Amen. All right. Let's see what the Lord has for you today. Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for your anointing and the covering of this house. We thank you, Father, for your word and, Father, that set us free. And, Lord, I just pray you give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, to give us strong, keep us strong in you and encourage. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we ought to be like Jesus, amen, and we ought to follow him, right? But God has put in his word a lot of people, men and women, just like you and me, that loved the Lord and went through all kinds of things that we go as well. Aren't you glad that you can look at them, you can read about them, and it's to encourage us? Jesus in the center. But, you know, if we're honest, we say, well, Jesus was the Son of God. He was perfect. I will never be perfect. I don't know. But then you see all these men and women, giants in the Bible, they're just like you and me, what they went through. And so today I just want to bring to you one of the apostles that I just admire. I admire all of them, but the apostle Peter. And so Peter, as I'm bringing what he went through, maybe you can relate to him and see your journey, right, serving the Lord the way Peter went through and how he dealt with it and how God assists him and how God met him where he was. I don't know about you, but I do tend to identify myself a lot with Peter, you know, just like Peter sometimes talk without thinking. I used to be like that. You know, like, let's do it now, right? And so you see the transition of Peter going on and the patience that the Lord Jesus Christ had with him. Amen? So let's go to this little journey. And again, it's to encourage you and to, I want you to say, okay, I'm in this stage in my walk with the Lord. No, I'm already past that stage. I'm over here, you know. But, and see where the life of Peter is taking us and how the Lord used him in a mighty way. Let's all go to Luke 5:3. And then it's talking Jesus here when it says, then he got Jesus into one of the boats, which was Simon. Now, Peter used to, his name used to be Simon. And asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the boat and from there, you know, he ministered to multitude. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now at this time, Peter is cleaning because he's been all night long trying to catch fish. He was a fisherman. And so he's cleaning, he's picking up things, he's leaving. But Simon answered and said to the Lord, him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. And so we know the story. You know, Peter's like, I already washed the nets. I am tired. I'm hungry. There is nothing. There's not one fish, Lord. And so, but then Peter said this, which is so profound. He goes, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Hallelujah. That was one of the most profound things. At your word, Lord. And you see, in our life, there's many, many times that we don't feel like trying again and doing things again because our flesh is saying no. Our experience is like, I'm tired of going back there over and over and over. I know they're not going to receive it. I know this is not going to change. But then we come to our sins and say, nevertheless, at your word, Lord, right? The Lord tugs in your heart and say, okay, one more time. You're going to forgive one more time. You're going to trust one more time. You're going to give one more time, right? And you don't want to. But at the word of God, you do, right? Because he says so, right? And so we know how it ends. Say, as you were, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. Woohoo! Miracle. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, sometimes we minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to bring people, and we are so afraid to offend people. But there is something that we need to remember, and it's the word repentance. You see, Simon humbled himself and repented because he was before a mighty, holy God. Without repentance, there's no remission of sin. And so we need to recognize we have failed. We are sinful, and we need a Savior. You see, that's the thing that I feel sometimes we're missing. You know, we promise people, oh, just come and receive Jesus. He'll give you life. He loves you. He's so good. And then the other person goes, oh, well, if that's all I have to do, that's pretty good. Without repenting, without humbling ourselves, without recognizing, ow. You see, the Bible tells us that the goodness of God carry us, take us into repentance. You know, the goodness of God there was all the fish. That's the goodness of God. That was the miracle, right? It softened Peter's heart, Simon, where he say, boom, you know, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. I believe it all my heart, that was his conversion. Amen? We have to recognize where we are, that we need forgiveness, and that we're not good, right? Sometimes you ask people, you know, if you die today, would you go to heaven? And they sometimes say, yeah, sure, I'll go to heaven. And why? Because I'm a good person. Have you heard that? And the Bible tells us that there's not one good, not even what? One. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so you see, it's the goodness of God that pulls us into repentance, right? So we can tell them the truth, right? And without offending, but the truth needs to be told, amen? So we see Peter or Simon just humbling himself, coming, right? The conversion, the conviction. Then in Matthew 14:26, we see Peter stretching out in faith. We know the story. 14, it says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, Jesus walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Hallelujah. So we come to the Lord, we receive him, and now we dare to believe, and we got faith. And then we say, okay, God. And then God starts doing miracles in our life, right? Now, I hear sometimes people are pretty hard on Peter saying that, you know, but then he got scared, and then he, but at least he got out of the boat. Amen? At least he just said, Lord, let me come to you, right? And so he did. And what the Bible says, yes, when he starts seeing the storm, how many times we pray to God in the position that you are and you need a miracle, because that was a miracle. Any of you have tried to walk on top of the water lately? That was a miracle. Supernatural, right? And so we start in faith. There's a storm, there's the water, that don't make sense. But then God starts coming through, right? You're standing for relationship. You're standing for healing. You're standing for deliverance. You're that you know only God can move. God start moving, you start moving, and all of a sudden you start looking at the circumstances, and then you get disheartened and you quit. Anybody here? We quit. And we start to what? Drown. Because our eyes are more into the problem, right, than it is the solution. And so as long as we keep our eyes, and that's what happened to Peter. Nevertheless, as soon as he started falling, you know, going down, the Bible said that immediately, 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and say, oh, ye of little faith, a little bit of rebuke there, right? You were doing so good, you were walking. The Bible tells us that they walked back to the boat. Hallelujah. You don't see no swimming, right? So this is Peter. This is Simon. Glory to God. So he's growing in faith. He's daring to believe. Then Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? So they say, some saying you're the John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And again, good old Peter, jump up, said, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, bless you. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Revelation came to Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus complimented him because he heard from the Father. This revelation of who he was came straight to Peter from the Father. That's why he's blessed. And upon that revelation, he's building his church, right? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What a promise. What a promise. So here in Life Ministry Church, one of the things that Pastor George and I like to instill in you is the ability for you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is telling you. You are the body of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord wants to communicate with you. Yes, you can hear the Lord. Yes, you can get guidance. Yes, Jesus paid for that. When we're saved and we come to the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord comes in, the Holy Spirit, and he's to show us and teach us and guide us. Hand in hand with the Word of God. the ability to be able to hear. So that's why Jesus got so excited. Here, Peter's doing real good. Amen? And so he's praised by Jesus. He got this revelation. He is Messiah. He is the Son of God. He's the one we've been waiting for. And so Peter got a little bit puffed up. Oh, don't we sometime, right? Let's not be too hard on Peter. You know, we get positions and we get anointing and the Lord uses us and we lay hands on them and they recover. And you see miracles and answering prayer. And people start coming around like, oh, you know, Pastor, you just pray. Oh, Pastor George, you know, each one of us. And all of a sudden, we get to that place that the enemy likes us to get a little bit pride. And then we start telling God what to do. Because after all, right? Have you seen all these ministries sometime? Everybody flocking to see a man or a woman, right? They will go, travel just because they got it. They're right in, right? And so let's see what happened. Bless Peter, Matthew 16:20. Right there, a little bit loud, and say, then he commanded his disciples, this is Jesus, that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders to the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. No, that's the key. He was going to be raised the third day. So that was all bad. But then Peter took him aside. Come on, I'm going to have to teach Jesus something. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. How? Saying, far be from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Right? We pray. We ask God. And then we tell God how we want our prayers to be answered. And then we get to the point that we try to convince God how things need to go. We need to remember and stay humble. It's not like that. Or we have some mindsets. You know, the Lord is trying to show us something, what to do, not to do, where to go, not to go. The Lord sometimes sends us in a mission to pray, to cover, to witness, to, and we tell them, no, Lord, that's not a good idea. And then we do our thing instead of relying on the Lord. Can you identify? I can. All of a sudden, because it has been working this way, this is the way to go. Amen? This is the thing that had to be going. This is how God moved. I always remember we going into ministering to Guatemala. We went to a group that praise and worship. And anyway, we were evangelizing. And we had it all planned. We had the music. We had the flatbed. We had the speakers. We had all things. And we were right there on the street. And we were ministering for 5 nights and all that. And we were praying and all that. Just, you know, both sides, they were just bars. And it was really bad. And nobody was coming. And you're just a group of people from the church. But they were mocking us and saying all kinds of things. So it was kind of tough. Finally, we humble ourselves. We pray a little bit more. And we say, Lord, here is the last night. And we say, Lord, what's going to happen, right? Then we humble ourselves like, okay, Lord, nothing is happening. Before then, you know, we were sure. We got the song. We got the band. It's going to be fine. But it wasn't fine. Because you see, the Lord gets all the glory. So that last night, we come and we stand. We got a little bit of that. All of a sudden, they start pouring rain. I mean rain on us. To the point that you can hardly see. I mean, it was those kind of rain. So we cover the instrument, cover everything. And we said, well, this is it. What a failure, right? What a failure. But God Amen? But God. All of a sudden, there was these young people, like two. And one of them came and got a drum and started banging on the drum and yelling out, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. I mean, he's banging that. The rain is pouring on him. He doesn't care. Those streets over there are not flat like here. They're kind of like this. And water was coming down like a river. I mean, river of living water. And that group of teenagers did not budge. They did not move. We got the videos. We should show it to you. And, of course, here we are, right? The evangelistic team. We better get wet, too. I just thought we were going to run to the hotel. And these young people, Jesus lived. Jesus and the sound of that drum. As it poured, guess what? Just with that. People coming out of the bars. Drunk people coming to the front. Falling on their knee. One just got hold of George, Pastor George. He was so drunk. He got him in a headlock, you know, just crying his heart out. And guess what? As the water was coming down, and Pastor George was trying to hold on to this man, or the man hold on to George. And as we all join in, Jesus live. Jesus is alive. Jesus is the way. I mean, more and more. And we had revival. Do you hear what I'm saying? God did it. People got healed. People got delivered. And they were in line waiting to be saved. Hallelujah. Who does that? God. But we gave God a schedule of things how they should have done, right? Lord, you know how many times we have practiced these songs? And C and F and G, whatever. One drum, one heart, the Spirit of the Lord. God was so good. Hallelujah. He can do it. Amen. So here's Peter putting him aside and say, telling Jesus how to do it. Don't be talking, you're going to die. What is that? And so, of course, you know the story where he say Jesus had to rebuke him, right? 23, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to rebuke you. Amen? We need correction. We need correction. When I'm going this way, I'm being stubborn and prideful. I pray the Spirit of the Lord will apprehend me. And he has. And I thank God for those times. But he's a gentleman. And he usually doesn't do it in front of people. He's really good. He's kind. But listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Then another thing we encourage the people here in Life Ministry Church to trust and believe in the prophetic word, prophesying. Prophesying the word of the Lord. What does that mean? It sounds like you pray, you hear, you sense, you believe, and you bless your brother, your sister. Amen? You prophesy. Prophetic words are very important. So in the next one, you see Jesus give Peter, again, an awesome prophetic word and a warning. Amen? Luke 22:31. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon. And, you know, he calls him Simon, not Peter at this time, right? Because it's the old also. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as a wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times. that you know me. The Word of God. When somebody ministered to us the Word of the Lord, and it can be, you know, somebody comes here, please listen what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And if it gives you conviction, somebody say, the Lord, you know, the warnings, the spiritual warnings that God give us, we need to heed to them. Peter didn't even think it twice, right? Here's Jesus saying, Satan has asked for you, right? To sift you like wheat. You know what that sifting does? It separates, right, in the natural. The chaff and the good thing. So Satan likes to do that, not only to Peter, but to us. He wants to do that, right? And one of the ways that Satan does this with us, listen, is he likes to separate us. Sometimes when we are not doing right, the first thing we do is separate ourselves from the body of Christ. Let me say something about the body of Christ. And I guess it's the, you know, the shepherding, you know, Pastor George and I, we love you. We love everyone that walks through this door because your daddy loves you very much, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so, you know, we their parents, is anybody messes with your child, right? Mama Bear comes in and all that. So we take it as a privilege and an honor because our Father is sending you here. So you're very important to us. But I notice sometimes that when we start drifting and Satan wants to sift you and throw all this stuff, the first thing you start finding is something to talk about the body of Christ. You separate yourself. You start coming to church because, oh, that's a bunch of hypocrites going to church. I'm telling you, that's a sign. You don't dislodge from the family of the Lord. You need to stay close. Do you hear what I'm saying? He wants to separate you, make you feel like, you know, oh, you can do better without it. You don't have to go to church. Oh, are you that religious, you know? Like somebody was told the other day, why are you always in church or something like that? What was that? Something they told you, that, you know, Jesus is going to get tired of you. Yeah, you go too much, so much to church, yeah, that Jesus is going to get tired of you, right? That's the world, right? Have mercy on one another. Are we there? No. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we miss the mark? Yes. But it's the body of Christ, and we need to cover each other's back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the first thing we start doing is just pointing out and judging and you know, and like, oh, but you know those people, I just don't want to go to church because, yeah, that's a sign that Satan is desiring to sift you like wheat. That is a, you know, separation. Now, if you separate to be with the Lord, it's okay. But if you separate to be with the world, it's not okay. And then Satan's going to win, right? And so Peter listened to him, and then we know that he failed miserably. Bless his heart, even though the warning was coming. But look what Jesus said. He said, but I have prayed. Amen. When you pray with one another, once of our prayer is, Lord, that their faith will not fail. You know about your brothers and sisters in the Lord that maybe they are making very poor choices. That's not the time to be talking about them in judgment. That is time to intercede and say, Father, that their faith will not fail. And then you do warfare with one another. Satan, you can't have them. The blood of Jesus is against you. Do you see how I'm praying? Lord, wake them up. Lord, embrace them with your love. And then you do warfare in their behalf, not by telling them how bad they are, but you do warfare against the enemy, which is the one that's trying to separate them. Amen? And then you win your brother and your sister. So here it goes, and then we go Matthew 26:33. Again, Peter says, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. What's wrong with that declaration? The never? Again, Jesus corrected him and said, "Sure, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And that is so sad. We know what happened. Matthew 26:69. Now Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about," saying. Then another girl and seven ones. So Peter denied the Lord three times. And what is so sad, on 74, it says, "Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man." And immediately, the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crow, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Ow. Ow. But again, beware where we are. We can look at Peter and say, "How did he? Wow." We can do the same. We need to be careful, because Satan is after your testimony, right? Because that's how you overcome. You overcome by what? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And if Satan can take your testimony away, then he got you. Amen? And so we see Peter falling, and I can't imagine. In another place, it said that when the rooster crowed, that the eyes of Jesus and Peter met. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine. But Peter was so sure, wasn't it? Right? When you pray, let's stay humble and say, "God, help me that I don't lose faith." Do you pray like that? Lord, help me to be strong. Lord, help me to stay in the race. I don't want to fall. Lord, help me. Right? And so we know all that, but the grace and the mercy of God at this time, when you read the whole scripture, Peter kind of feels very unworthy, right? And he kind of separates himself a little bit from the other ones. And some say that he even went fishing, back fishing again. He went back, right? Because I am not worthy, right? I can only imagine what Peter was going through, but then God, right? Mark 16:6 say, "But he said to them," and this is an angel, when the women went to the tomb, right? That's the background. And so they went to look for the body of Jesus. "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen." Hallelujah. "He's not here. See the place where they lay him. But go tell his disciple and Peter." And you know, God knew where he was. Why the disciples and Peter? You see, our Lord knows where you are. He knows every move you make. He knows what you're thinking. He knows you're coming, you're going. And if you don't believe me, just watch your GPS. It's amazing how we trust on the GPS, right? That is made by a man, but here you are following. Turn right, turn right. He knows even the step. And the minute you make a wrong move, doesn't he tell you, turn around, you know? I don't want to turn around. Now, this you in the GPS, in your car, and how many cars around you? And they probably all know, have GPS. Especially if you're in Miami. And everybody's going. And yet that little apparatus know when you make the wrong turn. But we got more faith in the GPS than we have in the Spirit of the Lord that knows exactly where you are and knows when you make the right turn. So here he is, right? The angels say, oh, by the way, go get the disciple. He's risen. He's not here. Glory, right? And don't forget Peter. Peter probably was still behind the scene feeling like a worm, right? You go get him. You go get him, right? It's the same with us. The Lord is faithful. Amen. So glory through that to the Lord. So good. John 21:15. Here the resurrection, Jesus is making breakfast for his disciple. They all went and they are just fishing. And again, right, say to him, at this time he tell him to cast the net, and they got a lot of fish and they realize, oh, it's the Lord. So he's making like a little barbecue on the side. Read it all, you know, I'm just paraphrasing, right, for time. But this is the thing that I want to bring to you. Then Peter jump, swim, as soon as you know, oh, that's the Lord. Here's Peter again. Like, I was like, oh boy, I'm not going to wait for this boat to get there. I'm going to swim. I'm going to get where the Lord is. And so he got over there, and Jesus even asked, do you have some fish? We can have an awesome barbecue breakfast here. And as they're talking, he said to him, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things, right? Peter's getting it the third time. You know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Three times Peter denied him. Three times Jesus made him confess that he loved him. When we fall short of the glory of God, we sin. The Lord restore all that the locust has eaten when we repent. In our home, when we walk, when you walk in it, we have the scripture, Joel. He will restore all that the locust has eaten. Because for years and years and years, since my children were small, we confessed that over and over and over. Because there were a season when we lost it all. Almost lost his life. He lost his voice. Pastor George, almost lost his life. Lost his voice. We had zero money. Little children. And we had that promise. And so we lost the church too, because we were pastoring at the time. We lost the church. We lost the ministry. You know, we were there like, oh, wow, like something hit us upside down. He was only 33. I was only 30. With three little ones and one coming that probably wasn't promised to have. Talking about dark days. Those can be but dark days. Right? You walk towards the Lord and you don't look at the storm. You stay steadfast. And so we repeated that. So when you walk in our home, that's the first thing you see. He will restore to you all that the locusts have. And he has. Praise God. He has restored all and above and beyond. Didn't lose my baby. Daniel's here. Praise the Lord. Now he's giving us more babies, right? He is faithful that promise. But you do go through hard times because the enemy desire to what? To sift you like wheat. That's what he wanted to do with us. Later on, you go in the book of Acts, with the pouring of the Holy Spirit, It got filled up, the 120, filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And who stands up? Peter. Hallelujah. And he prophesied. And he said, this is that. Amen. Acts 2:14. But Peter standing up with the 11, glory to God, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Satan couldn't keep him down. He was not destroyed. Where are you? And what? Where are you? Where are you walking? Are you just got converted? Are you getting revelation from the Lord? Are you being used by God? There's some warnings on these scriptures that I want you to read them again. Amen? But know that at the end, Peter did the will of the Lord. And when we get to heaven, I'm going to give him high five. No. Thank you, Peter. Right? We can identify with Peter. I do. And I can see that God is not a respected of person. He did it for Peter. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for you. Glory. Amen. So as you go through this journey with God that you have, we're all in different places, right? We are in one place, another place, and all that. It's my prayer that you get closer to the Lord more than ever, and that you do way beyond above anyone you know. And that you do the will of the Lord, and that you realize that the callings of God are without repentance. And when you fall, right? There's a scripture that I love. I always say, rejoice not against me, all my enemies. When I fall, I will arrive. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. So I confess that over me sometimes when I feel that I haven't fallen. So you press in. Amen? The best is yet to come. You keep the faith. You don't give up. Hear the word of the Lord. When you get a prophetic word, what is it that the Lord is saying that I need to pray and heed to it? When you get a vision, when you get a dream from God, and you know it's from God, don't just dismiss it. Heed to it. I believe if Peter would have heed to it, he would have not fallen the way he did. Right? So God is constantly, all right. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your people. As we are in different places, some of you are going through some really hard times. To those that are going hard time, hanging there, it's going to be okay. For those of you who are top on the mountain and everything is going well, I say, hold on, too, because it's coming. Buckle up. But the Lord is faithful, amen? If you're here and you feel need to be encouraged, we're here to pray for you. I want you to go knowing that God has a purpose and a plan and that he loves you. And that he put you in the body of Christ for you to have a family, an eternal family. That yes, we're not perfect and we are going to fail you probably. But that's what forgiveness is all about. Bring what you have. Minister to one another. Love one another. For the enemy desires to sift you like wheat. But Jesus, our intercessor, pray for us daily. I am so glad Jesus intercede for you and me. So Lord, help us. Help your people, Lord. Encourage us. Keep us strong. Help us to continue to declare that no weapon that is raised against us will prosper. In the name of Jesus. We win. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us, strengthen us, and use us for your glory. We praise you and we thank you. I bless your people in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here. Don't leave without it. Amen. Be blessed. See you tomorrow night for prayer. See you Wednesday night for Bible. Amen.